But today we're going to take a look at the story of Ruth. And Ruth is probably it's such a beautifully composed story that kind of captures parenthood, motherhood. It captures pain and purpose. It's very unique in the fact that the author never specifically mentions anyone praying to God. The author never mentions God directly revealing himself to anyone in the story. But throughout the book, when you do a really close reading, you'll find that we're reassured over and over that God always provides, even when things don't make sense in our minds. Now, one of the things that we have to acknowledge about Mother's Day is, for some mothers, for some people, Mother's Day is an extremely happy day. For others, it's an extremely painful day. There's a whole range of emotions that people feel on Mother's Day. There are people that are here this morning whose mother isn't with us any longer, and this day reminds them of that. There are mothers in this room who have lost children, and that's a very painful thing to have to live through. And there are mothers in this room who have a lot of fond memories that bring joy. And so today, my goal is, as we look through this book of Ruth, we're going to take a look at the realities of motherhood, the reality of life, and talk about pain and purpose. But I want to give you some quick facts before we kind of get into the book. The setting of the book is important. The book is set during the period of the judges. You find that in verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine. So we're looking at a time period in Israelite history after the Exodus, so after the nation of Israel leaves Egypt, and before the monarchy. So this is before King Saul, before King David. This is in the period of judges. And one of the things we have to understand when we are in this context, it's important to keep in mind, when we get to the end of the book, we see that God provides them something that they didn't even know they needed. There are three main characters in this book. The three main characters are Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. And the story takes place in two locations. Primarily, it takes place in Bethlehem of Judah, but there's a point in time when they're also in Moab. Moab is a neighboring country. And there's some familial relationship between Moab and Israel. But there's also a lot of hostility between the two. A matter of fact, when you go on and read through the Old Testament, you'll find that Moabites were prohibited from entering into the tabernacle and temple. But I think it's important to understand the lineage and why that's impactful. So I'm going to give it to you. Israel and Moab both trace their lineage back to a guy named Terah. Now, in Genesis, you can read about this. Terah is the father of Abraham and Haran. And we know that Haran has a son named Lot. But Abraham takes Lot under his wing for a time. And Abraham has Isaac and Ishmael. If you can read my sloppy writing. Now from here, we kind of get more branches. And I'm just going to focus on Isaac. Isaac has a son named Jacob, who becomes known as Israel. So this is the tribe of Israel. And Lot has two sons, Ammon and Moab. So you'll see that far enough back, they're related. They share a common ancestry. Now what's important to understand is these two children of Lot, Ammon and Moab, are the sons of Lot from an incestuous relationship with his daughters. So if you know the story, Lot and his family had to flee Sodom and Gomorrah when God was going to destroy those cities because of morality issues. And Lot's wife turns to a pillar of salt, and he escapes with his two daughters. And his daughters are afraid that they're not going to find any men to carry on the family name, so they get their dad drunk, and they have kids. The word Moab is the Hebrew word Moabi, and the Hebrew word translated
in Genesis that explains what happens with Lot and his daughter is from my father. It means it's pronounced Mayabi. So it's not a coincidence that the two sound similar. So the Hebrews, the Israelites, named this city based on, or this nation, based on the action of Lot and his daughter. And that's the biggest reason why there's some hostility between the Moabites and the Israelites. So there's some background information. Here's the story. The story is the family leaves the promised land. They leave Judah due to a famine. The family consists of a father named Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. That's in Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The family goes to Moab to live for a while, and while they're there, Elimelech dies, and then the two sons marry Moabite women. Eventually, the two sons die, leaving Naomi with two Moabite daughter-in-laws who are widows. Now, in the process of losing all of this, Naomi, she loses her husband, she loses her two sons. In the processing of losing these people, she hears that the Lord came to the aid of the people back home in the promised land and provided food for them. So she decides to return back home to Bethlehem and Judah. And so Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, they head out. But shortly after they head back, Ruth stops and encourages the two Moabite women to turn around and go back home. Go back to your families is essentially what she tells them. And Orpah turns back, but Ruth refuses to leave Naomi. The text actually says that Ruth clung to Naomi. And the song that we just sang actually is based on the words that she spoke. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. This is what Ruth tells Naomi. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so Orpah leaves. She turns her back and leaves. And Ruth clings to Naomi. When they get back home, the town stirred up. They see him coming back and they ask, can this be Naomi? And Naomi is full of pain from the loss that she's experienced. And she asks them, she says, please don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Because Naomi, the name means pleasant in Hebrew, and Mara means bitter. She says, don't even call me pleasant, just call me bitter. Now there's a key verse in Ruth chapter 1 that I think if we look at it, it'll help us eventually see how God has the capacity to completely reverse the situations in life that we find ourselves in. And this is where we're going to spend all of our time this morning. Just this one short verse. Ruth chapter 1, verse 21. And this is what Ruth chapter 1, verse 21 says. It says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Now, for the next few minutes this morning, I just want to pause right here in the story and analyze what's going on from Naomi's perspective. So this week's all going to be from the perspective of Naomi. Next week, we're going to take a look at the story from Ruth's perspective. But there's so much here in this one verse that I think speaks to us on Mother's Day, speaks to us as just, maybe not even mothers, but just as people in general. The first thing I want you to understand is that pain is a part of ordinary life and no one is exempt. I think sometimes we have a tendency to feel like if we're experiencing difficulty, if we're experiencing pain, we must be doing something wrong. But the reality is pain is part of ordinary life and nobody's exempt from pain. Some commentators have called the book of Ruth the female equivalent to the book of Job. Naomi's life, at least in the portion that we're exposed to in this book, is full of pain. She and her family leaves their homeland because of a lack of food. So they're experiencing some hunger and starvation. There was a famine. Famines were common during this period of Israelites' history in the period of Judges because God used famine as a way to turn his people back to depend on him. During this particular time when this book was written, the nation of Israel was a mess morally, politically, and religiously. If you read through the book of Judges, what you'll find is a common phrase that pops up over and over again, and that phrase is this: everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And the book of Judges is really about a messed up bunch of people. And so Ruth and her Naomi and Elimelech, all these people, they're living during this period when everything is completely chaotic. And what we read about Naomi's situation is heartbreaking. And the statement she makes about this, really, that we just looked at, is only halfway true. She says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Now, we know that the pain that she experiences because of losing her husband and her two sons is really impacting her in a very negative way, because she has forgotten that she didn't go away full. She went away half full. She went away because she was hungry. But the author's doing something very interesting here. He's being very intentional with this statement and with the words that he chooses. Because from Naomi's perspective, she's empty. But what we're going to see later on in the story in Ruth chapter 3, verses 17, is that God takes this feeling of emptiness and takes it back to a feeling of fullness, a place of fullness, because the words of Boaz to Ruth once he sends her back to Naomi after they've made an agreement is, "Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty." And he fills her cloak up full of food, full of grain. And so the author's showing us here that God is a God that takes these things that are tragic and does something spectacular with them. So I want you to write that down. Pain is a part of ordinary life. And whether we like it or not, pain is part of normal motherhood. I mean, the whole process of motherhood begins with pain. I just told my kids yesterday morning, I think it was yesterday morning, they were saying something about, you know, we were cleaning the van out for Barbara. That's one thing she wanted for Mother's Day. Just clean my van out. So we were cleaning it out. Matthew's like, "That's a lot of work." And I was like, "Dude, your mom shared her body with you for 9 months, and I can tell you that it was miserable." Not just for her, it was miserable for me. Especially with Abby, because it got to a point that I couldn't even eat because everything I cooked made her sick. So just stop cooking in the house. It's painful. But when we bump up against pain in life, your pain presents a problem. That's the second thing I want you to write down. Pain presents a problem. And for us, it's a problem of perspective. Pain presents a problem, and it's a problem of perspective. If you look at verse 13 in chapter 1, this is what you'll find that Naomi wrote. Or said, "The Lord's hand has turned against me." Now, listen to the words she's saying. "The Lord's hand has turned against me." And you add that to verse 21. "The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Now, here's what you have to understand about this. Neither we nor Naomi have the advantage of eternal perspective. We can only try to make sense of the situations that we face in this life through our limited perspective that is bound by time. This is a problem for us. This presents a problem. When we have a limited perspective, it's hard to make sense of some of the things that we go through. Naomi doesn't know the rest of her story, let alone the rest of God's story. Now, we have the advantage of reading it, and we can see how it ends. But at that point in her life, her pain was so great that all she could do to make sense of it was to attribute it to God's turning against her. That's the only thing she could do that made sense. Look, Job is another example of someone that wrestles with trying to figure out, why do we experience pain in this life? And the book of Job is probably one of my favorite books. And similar to Ruth, Job loses pretty much everything. And Job has three friends that show up. They try to console him. And eventually, near the end of the book, Job, you know, himself tries to make a defense, tries to explain why he's going through all these problems. And eventually, at the end, God shows up. And you can read God's response to Job in chapters 38 through 41. But in just one question that God asked at the very beginning of God's dialogue, we get the point. God says this to Job, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations?" And for the next three chapters, it's just God asking questions that Job absolutely has no answer to. And what God's doing to Job, he's saying, look, your perspective is limited to what you see and what you know. Pain is a problem for us because we have a limited perspective. But I think as we look at this, the story as it unfolds, there's two things that when we keep in our mind, it helps us when we experience pain. Now, notice, Naomi may have felt empty, but God didn't leave her alone. So this is the next thing you need to write down. God places people in our lives to walk alongside us through the pain. Now, we're going to talk a lot more about Ruth next week, but God gave Naomi Ruth. Orpah turned her back, Ruth clung. That word in the Hebrew is the same word that's used to describe a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. It's the same word. It's like it's really talking about like a piece of fabric that's woven together. And what we see with Ruth and Naomi is that Ruth weaves her life intimately with the life of Naomi. Now, it would help us to pause and think about the sacrifice that Ruth made to stay by Naomi's side. Because this wasn't really an easy decision for somebody to make. Ruth left her own family. Remember, they're in Moab, and they're leaving Moab and going back to Israel. She leaves her family, she leaves her homeland, and she sets aside the possibility of starting over in a place that was familiar. Ruth was loyal to Naomi. Now, when I compare what happens in the book of Ruth with Ruth and Naomi to the story of Job, there's a huge difference. See, Job had three friends. And at the beginning of the story of Job, the three friends are great because they don't say anything. They just sit with Job. But for whatever reason, it would have made the book a lot shorter, number one, but for whatever reason, the three friends decide that they need to try to tell Job why he's experiencing his pain. And so what you get is like, you know, an interaction with each friend and then Job saying, why are you saying this? You know, this isn't right. But they're trying to, I guess they're trying to make him feel better, but really what they do is make matters worse. Now, the difference between those three guys and Ruth is that Ruth, never in this book do we see an account when Ruth tries to justify or explain the pain that Naomi's experiencing. Not one time. Ruth doesn't try to say, here's why this is happening, here's what we need to do about it. The only thing Ruth does is cleaves her life so tightly to Naomi that she makes sure she provides the basic needs that Naomi has. She listens to Naomi. Naomi says, we got to eat, you got to go out to the fields. She says, okay, I'll go do it. She goes and gleans and harvests the food, takes it back so they can eat. Not once do we see Ruth say, I think this is happening because God's doing this. Not once. She's just present in the life of Naomi. Mothers, one of the most valuable things that you can do is find someone that you can that can support you in your times of desperate need. No one is designed to go through life alone without the comfort of others. When life brings you pain, and I want you to listen to this very carefully. When life brings you pain, the best approach is not to start looking for answers immediately, but to look for that person that will walk through those moments with you. I would write that down. When life brings you pain, the best approach is not to start looking for answers immediately, but to look for that person that will walk through those moments with you. Because what we learn from this text is that though we may feel empty, God will never leave us alone. Never. Unfortunately, we live in a society that almost prizes walking through difficulties in isolation. But biblically speaking, we were never meant to walk through the difficulties of life by ourselves. Find somebody. Find that person that will walk alongside you and doesn't have to give an answer for every question that you have, but can just be present. So God, Naomi might have felt empty, but he didn't leave her alone. And I want you to understand that God never wastes the pain that we experience or allows us to go through it arbitrarily. This is the fourth thing, the fourth point I want to make this morning, is that God uses our pain for a purpose. I think the hardest part of pain is trying to figure out why. That's the most difficult part of pain. And as a chaplain, I often told people when they were experiencing loss, why is not the best question to ask. The reality is we will never have an answer to why this side of eternity. Why is not the best question to ask. Maybe if you want to ask questions, maybe the best question is what now? But don't ask why, because why we may never get an answer to. And knowing the end of this book gives us insight into the purpose associated with the pain that Naomi experienced. Now remember the time period of this book. It's in the period of Judges. So it's before Saul, it's before David, it's before the people even asked for a king. I want to give you a spoiler alert here. If you haven't read the book yet, I want you to do it, but I'm going to tell you how it ends. Ruth marries Boaz, and they have a child. That child is named Obed. So Naomi is given a grandson, and that grandson, Obed, is the grandfather of David. So here's verse 14, and then verses in chapter 4, and verses 18 through 22 record the actual lineage. But verse 14 says, the women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they have named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, if you're into genealogy, verses 18 through 22, this is what you find. This, then, is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. Now, we read this, and we think, wow, this is where David comes from. I mean, I think this is why the book is placed in the canon where it is. Just after Judges, just before Samuel. Because when we get to Samuel, what's Samuel about? We're going to get a king. Right? But it's doubtful. It is very doubtful that Naomi realized just how important that child was for the future of Israel. We read it and we say, wow, Obed's the grandfather of David. We don't know if Naomi ever knew that. So it's doubtful. And what that teaches us is that we may never realize or understand why we experience some of the things that we do in this life. But regardless, whether we don't realize it or whether we don't understand it, it doesn't mean that God isn't up to something. So mothers, you may never know the impact that you as a mother will have on future generations of the kingdom of God. That's what this story is about. But one thing that you can rest assured of is that God will use the pain you experience just as well as he can use the joyous moments that you experience. Listen, the book of Ruth is about ordinary people, and sometimes not even ordinary people. It's about unlikely people. Because Ruth is very unlikely. She's a Moabite. She's not even from the tribe of Israel. But yet she finds herself in the lineage of one of the greatest kings in Israelite history, David. It's about ordinary people or unlikely people and an extraordinary God. God uses the experiences and the difficulties that life brings for a purpose that's bigger than we could ever imagine. Now, when we look at stories like this, when we look at stories like the book of Job, it makes us wrestle with some deep, tough questions. And I'm just going to give you my two cents this morning on its suffering and pain. Because sometimes we ask why, because we do want to point the finger at God. It's the easiest thing for us to do. God caused this. God did this. But I want you to understand from my perspective that I don't think God is the direct cause of all things in this life. There's a theology out there that will say that God is the direct cause of all things. I don't think that's the case. I believe that when God created us as free will beings, he limited himself to some degree. That doesn't mean that he's not all powerful. That doesn't mean that he can't do anything. But what that means is when he decided to give us the ability to choose, he decided himself that he would say, I'm going to allow them to choose and to allow them to experience the consequences of those choices, both positive and negative. And when sin entered into this world, due to humanity's free will, humanity's ability to choose, the world became a cursed and broken place. And part of this ordinary life, because of humanity's choice, is experiencing both joy and pain. It's experiencing both comfort and chaos. But what we will see all throughout Scripture is that while God is not the direct cause of our pain, He does allow us to experience the pain. And even knowing that He allows it sometimes causes us to question His goodness. But God would only be good if He has a purpose in allowing it. And that's what we see in the book of Ruth, is that He has a purpose in the pain. He doesn't waste pain. Not only does He have a purpose, but He gives us people to bring comfort and support. Mothers have generational impacts. Think about that. Mothers have generational impacts. The impacts of Naomi and Ruth are seen decades later in King David. Generational impacts. What you are doing today, mothers, will help shape God's kingdom for decades to come. And as God is weaving those moments of laughter, sorrow, joy, pain, and love together, always remember that He has a purpose for you as a mother far greater than you could ever imagine. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the people that You place in our lives that impact us in ways that sometimes we won't understand for years and years to come. I'm especially thankful for my mother and grandmothers and the mother to my kids, because I see firsthand how their lives impact Your kingdom. And I know that there are so many more mothers in this room and women who fill the role of motherhood. And I pray that even in the times of life when it's difficult, when it's filled with pain, that You would remind them that there is a purpose and that You would continue to place people in their lives that can walk alongside them. And God, may we never minimize the impact that You have chosen to have through women in Scripture. May we look to them and learn from their example and apply those principles to our own lives, trusting that in these actions, You are cultivating a generation that will make a difference for Your kingdom. I pray these things in Your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.